the Lord's help, I would again direct your attention to the word we have before us this morning, the prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 37 and the 17th verse, reading one question and the answer. The 37th chapter of Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, and this is the question: is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. And when is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. Let God be true and every man a liar. There may be some circumstances, whether those circumstances are providential or spiritual, in our outside scene or in our inward soul, yet we may say that there is no word that God can ever speak to us. Well, of course, that is limiting God, and indeed losing sight of the great power of the Almighty God. We looked, as most of you will remember, at a few points relative to this word: is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. We shall not go over the details of our morning discourse, but will depend upon the Lord to lead us further into the application of these words, because, of course, the question is a very wide one. We may say a very deep one, a very all-embracing one, a word which is so clear that whatever our extremity, our distress, our concern, whether it is known or unknown, whether it's rather like Nebuchadnezzar when he dreamed a dream and he couldn't remember what he had dreamt, and he required God, through instrumentality of Daniel, to tell him what he had meant, what he had dreamt. Is there any word from the Lord? And as you will recall, God gave to Daniel, through another vision, a complete recital of all the details of that dream. And in consequence, we may look at this word: is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. Now, as the Lord may help us this afternoon, may we come to one or two points specific concerning the calling of God's people and the leading of his people through the wilderness, and those prayers and petitions that he puts within their hearts as they proceed along life's journey, and are encouraged to press on against storm and wind and tide. One of the great things that must ever exercise God's children is to whether their experience is a right experience, whether their pathway is the pathway of the people of God. We are warned in the scripture from comparing ourselves among ourselves. And many have been greatly discouraged when perhaps they have heard the testimony of another person and have said, but I've nothing like that. You are not required to have anything like that. What is most uppermost and important is that you should have something where that when you come to the Word of God, you can say, ah, that's it. So is there any word of the word from the Lord when there is a concern as to whether We are rightly called by the grace of God, and are walking in the way that leads to Calvary, leads to heaven at last. Well, why do these things arise? In one of the chapters that we have read this afternoon, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And some of us may well know the deception of our heart, and also the temptations of Satan himself, who puts an if, as he did to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, if thou be the Son of God. And it may be, if thou be a child of God. And so there's a little spring of doubt that rises up in your heart and you are disturbed. How can you settle the matter? Well, it must come within the compass of these words. Is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said there is, and I can say the same this afternoon. There is a word from the Lord. There is a description of your particular exercise. There is that which is written, which will identify those important points that stand out as the very evidences of God's people. In this same book of Jeremiah, we read about a sale of land. And in respect to that, there was the outward evidences, but also the inward or hidden evidences. Now, there may be the outward evidences in respect to the things of God, but there will also be the hidden evidences. And those hidden evidences are between your soul and God. But how consoling it is when the Lord shows you clearly that your religion is not of yourself but of God. So let us look for a moment at the beginning. There are times when God's children are concerned about the beginning. But is there any word from the Lord whereby we may see clearly that our beginning was right? Let us consider first of all as to whether your beginning was one that you could have operated yourself. And if that is so, you can cancel that one out. Or is it that such a beginning that has been the result of your being coerced by someone that you know? You know, we read in John's Gospel in the first chapter of these words, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born. Now, we want to have the new birth, and we want to know that the birth is right, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So then, we find that there are three frauds and one reality. Is it then not of blood? Or because we cannot say that because father, grandfather, and going back, because religion is hereditary, then if therefore it's come down to me? Or even where that is so, yet we can see that we need God's operation if we are to be born again of the Spirit. If religion came down through the lineal descent, then it could never be more than a natural religion. And of course, there are those cases where natural religion proceeds along those lines. Of God, then we shall be concerned to know that our beginning is right, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. I might just take a couple of points here. Now, the will of the flesh is right against being saved by grace. And the will of man, generally, is right against being saved by grace. We can listen or read or perhaps come in contact with people who are in the evangelistic world and professing to gather many into the fold of Christ. But is it not by the will of man? Oh yes. But is it without man? Oh no. No. You do your bit, God will do his. And in the end, such people will find that they've been frauded. And that they've been given account of it. And when they come to the end, it will not be acceptable. We find that character in the Pilgrim's Progress, ignorance. Now, he came from the land of deceit, a conceit. He didn't come in at the wicked gate. And he went along and he met the pilgrims from time to time, on more than one occasion. And he didn't want to be disturbed. And so eventually, we find him reaching heaven's gate. Well, Bunyan points out that even from the very gate of heaven, there is a way down to hell. What was he asked for? He was asked for his certificate. And he fumbled in his bosom and he couldn't find it. What is the certificate? The certificate that is signed by David's Lord in all things ordered well. That certificate certainly is the covenant of grace. The covenant of grace. This covenant, O believer, stands. Thy rising fears to quell. Signed by thy Saviour's bleeding hands in all things ordered well. So is there any word from the Lord? In former days, the emphasis was laid upon the covenant and the covenant of blood. If that the blood was not mentioned in the teaching and preaching of the gospel, some referred to it as a gospel that was anemic. It had no blood in it. Now, what do we think of the blood? Do we feel that we must have the blood? To the natural mind, it is of little consequence. We're not interested in the blood. And maybe you're greatly concerned sometimes because of that feeling in your natural mind. But if we were honest, we should say it says away with the blood. But blessed be God, if there is a word from the Lord which makes it so clear that you must have the blood. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that bringeth us nigh. It is the blood that is able to cleanse us from all sin. And so, do we see the blood? Have we seen the blood? And do we say, but sometimes I cannot see the blood. You might bear this point in mind, that when the children of Israel were to go out of Egypt, they were to slay a lamb and to sprinkle the blood upon the doorposts and the lintel. And then they were to go inside. And then the Lord said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Are we discouraged sometimes because we cannot see the blood? Well, the Lord says, when I see the blood, and he will know where to look for it. Perhaps we're looking in the wrong place and trying to mix it up with other matters. But the Lord said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. How important it is to have what I might call a clean religion. The thought crossed my mind while I was in the vestry of a verse which you find in Hymn 220. Remember, O Christian, with heed, when sunk under sentence of death, how first thou from bondage was freed. Say, was it by works or by faith? On Christ thy affections then fixed, what conjugal truth didst thou vow? With him, was there anything mixed? Then, what wast thou mixed with him now? So it is a question of Christ, our only salvation. Christ in his finished work. Christ in those glorious words where he said, it is finished. Where he said also, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Is there any word from the Lord? And are you concerned relative to your own salvation as to whether you've been deceived? Now, there's another aspect whereby you may rejoice in this word. Is there any word from the Lord? We read in one of the epistles of Paul, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Is it justification that we need? But justification without sanctification is not justification at all. We must be walking in a new life. Is there any word from the Lord? I believe sometimes there's much to be said for reading the 119th Psalm. I believe it was read some of it today. Here, the prayer meeting. And that tells you where that man's desires were. How love I thy laws, I mentioned this morning, rather, thy law is hid within my heart that I might not sin against thee. But then, how love I thy law, he says, and how love I thy testimonies. And he asks this question, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. This expression, according to thy word, recurs again and again in the scripture. And it certainly does in this 119th Psalm. So you see how attached the psalmist was to the word of God and what it said. Is there any word from the Lord? Then do you find that your heart is enlightened and instructed because your anxiety is that it may be according to the word of the Lord. It was a solemn day for one of the eastern kings when there was the writing on the wall. The writing on the wall. And the man's knees knocked together and his joints were loosed until he knew the answer. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. The remarkable thing is that as soon as he knew the explanation, he went back to his drinking. About how many of God's people have been greatly concerned when that word has been so pertinent to their situation? Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. And this is perfectly true. So what is to be done? Is there any word from the Lord when I'm weighed in the balances and found wanting? Well, there is. Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That is the word of the Lord. So if God should have put you in his scales and all you can see is that which is lost and undone, all hope you've resigned. And yet, is there any word from the Lord? There is. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God, and there is none else. He is able to deliver the needy when he cried, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. In order that we might consider another mark that we are born of God, again, we may notice some of the prayers that are disclosed to us in Psalm 119. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Now, is that a word from the Lord to any of you this afternoon? Does it discover to you your inward feelings and the desires of your heart, the longings of your soul? Then again, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, and listen, according to the word of the Lord. Not according to people's opinions, but according to the word of the Lord. And then, another example of the inward experience, and it is the inward experience. You can look at the outward experience of people, but you can never discover the inward experience unless God tells you what it is. So we come to the 49th verse where we read, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. So here is a man that has had a word from God. And that word from God was indeed in answer to this question, is there any word from the Lord? There is. It was not just, so to speak, a one-off thing about the man comes and he says, remember the word, the living word, the powerful word, the upholding word, the strengthening word, and the lively word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. With what result? This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word quickeneth me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. Another point which is in the word of God, and remember, is there any word from the Lord? There is. What do you feel toward the Lord God himself? Not what you say necessarily to others, but what you feel in your soul secretly with to God. We have therefore these words, Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. So if you read through this 119th Psalm, you will surely find many indications of that will give you encouragement and hope in regard to your own salvation. There is another word in the 89th verse, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now this may answer the point which might tax your faith sometimes as to whether it is a word that you thought came from God, but because of things that had happened and the things of which you had been guilty, that word could no longer obtain. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Whom once he loves, he never leaves, but loves him to the end. We have a few well-known and remarkable instances in the word of God in respect to God's unchangeable word, which means also his unchangeable love. Mine's is an unchanging love higher than the heights above. What do you think would have been the case of poor Peter if this had not been true? Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. When Peter denied his Lord and Master, and what did the look convey? God is faithful. Oh, God is faithful. He, faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. Thy word is written in heaven. It is settled in heaven. And this is the comfort and consolation of all of God's children. Surely it is. So then, is there any word from the Lord? Search the scriptures and pray over the scriptures. Is there any word from the Lord that will answer the suggestions of Satan and the deceitfulness of my own heart? That will tell me that I am a child indeed. Oh, the great blessing and favor when God speaks to his children in such wonderful words, and he speaks words so pointedly when he says something like this, that the thought and the knowledge that I am thy child. Now God is able to confirm that. God does confirm it. Is there any word from the Lord? There is. So God speaks to his people in their troubles, in their sicknesses sometimes. I remember him speaking to me on one occasion with just two words, my son. And not all that while after, when I was in hospital, these words, God dealeth with you as with sons. Now you see, that is a word from the Lord, and that will put every question out of question. So, is there any word from the Lord? Oh, there are words of consolation, words which will strengthen our faith, words which will enable us to look far forward, words that will enable us to rejoice in Christ Jesus. You will no doubt recall the words in the 34th Psalm, when the psalmist called upon others to join with him. He said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And why? I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. So it is a time for rejoicing. Has God accomplished this in your soul? So that it gives you the answer. Is there any word from the Lord? And there is. Because this tells you that you've got, so to speak, the photostat of your very heart. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. That this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. So, is there any word from the Lord? Do you feel your soul is pent up because of the goodness of God to your soul? And will you go and burst forth and tell out that which you couldn't tell out before? But now the Lord has come in the greatness of his glory and has revealed to your soul his excellency. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. So that your soul has been absolutely flooded with the love of God. I sometimes think of Luther's words on well known, I could do no other. Now, that's a good word when God brings you to a point, I could do no other. But declare what God had done for my soul. I could do no other but stand firm, having that humble and precious hope in my soul. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Coming right out of the 119th Psalm, we have the wonderful words concerning his own feeling toward the word of God. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace. Now you've got a mark here. Are you looking round? Is there any word from the Lord? Is this my experience, my feeling at the moment, a right feeling? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing can offend them. So are you feeling great peace? And from whence will it take? Do you trace its source? Is it that you've procured it by some self-righteous act? Or is it because from the absolute power of the grace of God you have peace? The Lord Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace, peace like a river, ever flows. Peace. And you know, the peace of God passeth all understanding. You are not able to describe it. But have you felt the peace? What does that peace really mean? It means being reconciled to God. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Has that been a word that has come to you? Is there any word from the Lord? How can two walk together except they be agreed? And so this has been a word of instruction, and you've had to consider, where's the difference? Where have I gone wrong? How can I get back? Now we all know, I'm sure some of you much more than others, that if as sheep we stray away, we can never find our way back. Oh, but is there any word from the Lord? When I have strayed away as far from God as sheep can run, but see how heaven's indulgent care attends their wanderings here and there. Here and there. And what does he do? Well, those of you that have had the experience, as well, I might say, of those of you that haven't, will know from what is in the scriptures that he doesn't beat them back, but he kills them with his love. And you know, if we've been backsliders in heart or outwardly, he will kill such with his love. And that love will be in demonstration and in power, because instead of chastising them in the way that most people would expect with a stick, he takes them up in his arms and carries them back into the fold. And has he done that with you? Dr. Goodwin, in one of his sermons, I think it is, he refers to Joseph. And he says, when Joseph received his brethren and revealed himself to them, he said, I am Joseph, whom ye have sold into Egypt. And then he takes us to the scene on the shore when the Lord Jesus sees his disciples, the ones that have fled from him, en bloc. Not just Peter, but en bloc. They had fled from him, forsook him. He says, children, have you any meat? Oh, children, have you any meat? Is there any word from the Lord when you have forsaken him? When you've gone your own way? When your heart has been hardened, or perhaps, as we read in another on another occasion, the Lord, Peter said, I go a fishing. This was a very nice while it lasted. But now the Lord's dead and I go a fishing. I'm going to return back to my own way. It was just at that point, you see, that the Lord came and spoke unto them in this loving way, a way which will surely break your heart and make you willing to follow him and listen what the Lord will say and hope to follow that. Is there any word from the Lord? Ah, there is. But not the word you expect. Could those people, those disciples, have ever thought that the first words they would hear would be, children, have you any bread? And there was a meal prepared for them on the shore. But this is the point that Dr. Goodwin makes. He didn't say, whom ye crucified, whom ye left and fled from me when I most needed you. Oh no. He couldn't do that, because by his atonement, by his death and resurrection, their sins have been put away. So is there any word from the Lord? Yes, there is. The vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Is there any word from the Lord? Yes, there is. Oh, listen to the words that we have in the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, where we read, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together, declare thou, that thou mayest be justified. And very similar words in the 44th chapter, where we read again, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Is there any word from the Lord? Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forests, and every tree thereof. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and glorified himself in Egypt, in Israel. So is there any word from the Lord? And is it the unexpected word? When you have written yourself off, so to speak, when you have said, but there's no hope for me, there's no mercy for me, yet does the Lord come and speak a word which he has reserved in his covenant, in his heart, to be spoken at the appropriate time. I shall never forget the time when so powerfully he spoke those words to me. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And those words were spoken to me after a very bad season in my life. And the Lord has his appointed times for saying his words. God doesn't say his words any time. Therefore, they're not cheap words, but they're precious words. Have you any precious words that you look at sometimes and you say they are precious? Why are they precious? Because they have come forth from God's lips, and therefore they are words which will not alter. They are words which will last me right down to my dying day. One of our hymns has this line, I hope to die shouting, the Lord will appear. Now, has the Lord appeared for you? I'm sure he has for some of you. And is he appearing still? And will you not go along with the poet when he says, I hope to die shouting, the Lord will appear? And if we ever need the Lord to appear, it will certainly be when we come to the end of our journey and lay upon our deathbed. There's only one that can help us there. And God will not forsake you. Men may forsake you. We read sometimes in the newspapers or perhaps medical journals of cases which are beyond recovery and nothing more can be done. We shall never be in that place in regard to the Lord when he has to say, I'm sad, I'm sorry, but I can do no more. The fullness of the atonement, the riches of his grace, the extent of his power is so great that he is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto him by Jesus Christ. So then, is there any word from the Lord? There is. Whatever your situation, whether it be a matter of providence, is there anything too hard for the Lord? I am the God of all flesh. Has God spoken to you if you've got troublesome people to deal with? And perhaps you're the troublesome person is yourself. God says, I am the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? And if God can deal with you, well, will you not say he can deal with anybody? He can make other people's hearts soft, because he's made my heart soft. He can do great things, and holy is his name. The word of the Lord is pure. All God's words are pure. All God's words are penetrating. All God's words are effective. And if you should be concerned and wondering whether you will endure to the end, there is a word that is quite a favorite of mine in the prophecy of Isaiah. He is able to declare the end. When? From the beginning. And he can tell you at any time in your pathway, from the very moment you start on your journey to heaven, you'll get there. Oh, you'll get there. There's no if or but to foul the stream. No peradventure there. And if we think of some of the sips, by the way, if such the sweetness of the streams, what must the fountain be? Where saints and angels draw their bliss immediately from thee. So, is there any word from the Lord? Jeremiah said there is, and so say I. May you prove this to be a word in season, and if you feel still that there isn't, may God destroy all that unbelief, and bring to the view the right word, which you know must be an apt word, which you know must be a word that fits completely. The Lord command his blessing, pardoning all that has been amiss. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Shall we conclude by singing hymn number 293? The tune is Hazleton 743. Hymn number 293. Encompassed with clouds of distress, and tempted all hope to resign, I pant for the light of thy face, that I in thy beauty may shine. Disheartened with waiting so long, I sink at thy feet with my load. All plaintive I pour out my song, and stretch forth my hands unto God. Yet, Lord, if thy love has designed no covenant blessing for me, tell me, how is it I find some sweetness in waiting for thee? Almighty to rescue thou art, thy grace is immortal and free. Lord, succor and comfort my heart, and make me live holy to thee. 293.